Okay, so let's see if I can remember how to do this. It's been a while. It's been about 2, 3 weeks, huh? Yeah, it's been about 2, 3 weeks. I had 2 weeks of football to digest, some good wrestling, Dark Side of the Rings. Man, it's been a long fucking time doing this, but I'm back. It ain't been that damn long. It's only been 2, 3 weeks, but I'm back. Podbean is kind of out of the question for now. I got to get some things right to get that right. But hey, at least I ain't got to switch, right? Let's get into it. It is September 24th. I have not done this, and I'm going to say in a while, as far as my, the way I want these standards to go for the show, I had a birthday that passed last week. And yeah, I definitely wasn't going to do a show that day or that night or that weekend. Just a lot of stuff going on. So we're going to get into a lot of football and semi-wrestling. We're about to get into a whole lot of stuff. I just have been missing. I kind of diverted just a little bit because I've been trying to, do the Podbean thing that didn't get right. So I was like, okay, well, I could stick with Anchor because why go off of Anchor and, just a bunch of other shit, So, and like I said, with the birthday weekend and I was pretty much hammered the whole entire weekend, I was fucked. I was fucked, And it was like not even like a, I planned this to be fucked up all weekend. It was just, okay, drinks came my way, so I took it. What do you want me to do? I didn't I don't party. I just drink and watch sports. And I get hammered on my own time. Kind of on that mission a little bit now. But yeah, so before I get into any football and stuff, because football is going to probably take up most of this show in the next segment. This segment going to be all wrestling. Before I get into like the bad part of wrestling, because that's going to probably take up predominantly this whole segment too. Let me get into the good of wrestling. Good Raw. I don't know about SmackDown. I'm not even watching SmackDown or AEW right now. I'm just recording over top of shit because I was like, okay, been so drowned with wrestling all week. I just been like, fuck it. I don't need to watch anymore. I can kind of, retool and I can rewatch all that stuff tomorrow because I can if I want. But, Raw was good. They had Roman Reigns and everything on there. Couldn't complain. And then, like I said, Grand Slam for Dynamite. That match with Daniel Bryan and Kenny Omega, it ended perfectly. You couldn't end that match no better way. It was like, okay, not for the title. So the best way to do it, okay, 30-minute time limit. And then, with pro wrestling now, you kind of forget that you can do that type of shit. So as the match kept progressing, I got more into it. I forgot about the 30-minute time limit and it went to a draw. And I'm like, oh. But right after that, I was like, perfect. Because, like I said, when they really fight for that title, they're gonna go all out because that's like not even. And then that's the way you seen Daniel Bryan wrestle. That's the way he wanted to do this. He wanted to lay it like go all in. You could tell he's like kind of still wrestling the WWE style, but the style that he wanted to wrestle too, kind of mixing it. Wrestling as a whole all this week has been good so far. Like I said, I haven't been watching SmackDown. I know SmackDown is on now. And AEW will be coming on right after that. But like I said, I tried to get a break from wrestling because I got to get all in on football Sunday and all the other stuff because I've been like all footballed out. Yeah, just been, like I said, just, I'm going to say pretty much I've been busy because, like I said, kids, got to help kids with school and everything. But wrestling has pretty much been fun and awesome. Big E's a new champion. Like I said, I've missed. Not missed a lot. I just missed doing the show for us everything. Like Big E became champion in that span and all this other stuff. I think the last show I think I did was like for the AEW All Out pay-per-view. And then I think I ain't did no shows for the whole month of September. I don't believe. If I did, I can't remember. I have to look back, but Jesus. But I did watch Dark Side of the Ring. Plane Ride from Hell. Man, that opened up a can of worms. I think a lot of those wrestlers didn't want the worms to be opened up to, right? And let's be honest, who didn't believe that Ric Flair didn't do the helicopter dick? Like that, like I think that story was floating around for years. I just think that they wanted to actually hear it from the lady's mouth. And not, and no, don't get it misconstrued, folks. Don't think for a second I'm about to be like Tommy Dreamer and say he's the Nature Boy. He does that. No, motherfucker. Like Ric Flair should have been like with the most thing that on it that disgusted me the most is not even what Tommy Dreamer said. Not saying that I'm not even mad at the fact that Impact even got rid of him, because I'm like, dude, like, really? Like, you really going to say that out your mouth? That's what we're really doing? I'm not even mad about the one thing that I can say that I was actually disappointed about out of the entire situation after they said everything, you know, like even with the Sky Hall stuff, I was just like, you know, you don't really agree with it, but you're like, yeah, but Sky Hall in 2002, though, like, he probably don't even remember half that, like, none of that shit. Like, he was fucking in a bad place. But with the Ric Flair stuff, you like, you look at it, you're like, okay, it, with Scott, is like, okay, well, he got fired. But with Ric, he done, like, the worst out of everybody. He didn't get fired, and he helicoptered his dick to one of the ladies on the flight. And I'm sitting there watching this thing in awe, like, okay. You're looking at it all and like, you're like in awe, you're like, Jesus, like, okay, so we get, so this is what Ric Flair does. We know that, but he does not get reprimanded, and JR, he's just sitting there like, You tell me, why was he not fired? like JR don't own the fucking company. Vince McMahon does. And if Vince McMahon and Linda was on the same flight, why did all this shit go on for seven? Well, from what we told, 14 hours? And even of the other goofy shit, I was listening to Booker T talk. And I was listening to him, and I was like, So Booker was on the flight, but Booker was like, look, I had no recollection. I went to sleep and I mind my own damn business. That would have been me. Because I would have already let motherfuckers know, you fuck with me, I'm going to beat the fuck out you. I don't care if you're Brock. I don't care if you're Undertaker. I don't care who any of you bastards is. I'm not one person to be fucked with when I'm asleep. So for you motherfuckers to pull these pranks and shenanigans and all this other crap and shave my head, like I can get like some of the shenanigans, like the shaving cream stuff. It's like, ah, okay, but to cut ponytails off and cut eyebrows and pull your dick out and all that shit, that's where it's a cause for you got to get your ass killed. I'm gonna say killed, like seriously, because that's not nothing that I do. That's the type of shit that I don't fuck with. And Booker T, I'm looking at his whole situation. I'm like, yeah, you think about the locker room back then. I don't think nobody would have fucked with Booker T while he was asleep. Nobody. People are like, yeah, well, shit, Undertaker probably did. I don't even think Undertaker's on that bullshit. Think of the people that was like involved. Like, you think of the names of people that was really involved in it. Besides Ric Flair and Scott Hall, which one of those guys were like big name guys, like Dustin Rhodes, Goldust? Yeah, he was okay, but like, really, you know, look at those. You look at all of them, like even people like, well, what about Brock? Like Brock at the time, but I could see where Vince seen money in Brock at the time, but it was like it was still no excuses for his crap, you know. You know, it was rumors out there saying he showed his dick to Terry Reynolds and all this other shit. It's just like, really? This plane ride from hell was that out of control? I would have been one of the guys that would have been on that flight like, hey, look, what the fuck are all of y'all doing? Like, are y'all fucking y'all children? Like, y'all not tired? Like, I understand you want to have a bill or two. Take your pill, go fucking sleep. Ric Flair, you a grown, you're a 53-year-old man. Why do you fuck you? Ric Flair would have been 53 at the time because I had to do the math on it. Like, Ric Flair, you're 53. Why are you showing your dick Tommy Dreamer, why are you admiring his dick? And that was what I was mostly weirded out about looking at, listening to Tommy Dreamer, because he talking about how well endowed this nigga is. Like, first of all, I'm not measuring the size of another man's dick. If anything, I'd have told Ric Flair, put your shriveled up dick back in the damn thing, bro. Like, seriously, nobody wants to see that shit, dog. Like, it's a flight. We all wrestle. We all in pain. We already got to do live TV. As soon as we get back to Connecticut, dog, put your dick back in your robe. Put your pants. What the fuck you want my robe on for, bro? Like, that shit only shines when we're doing TV. This shit don't pays off when we off of fucking TV, dog. Like, stop, bro. Like, you 53. You're not, this is not the 80s where you can do this shit and, you know, me, you probably used to, you know, these ladies probably, which this lady don't want your dick, yo. Like, chill. Like, if she said no, chill. One thing I don't tolerate is the bullshit like that, like forcing yourself. Like, stop, dog. Like, a man that forces himself, like, doing that type of shit, it's like, come on, bro. Like, stop. Like, put your shit back in, Ric Flair. I'd have really put Ric Flair in his place, bro. Like, fuck is wrong with you, dog? Hey, drink your shit and lay down. What are you doing? Making all this money and you acting like you get no pussy. That's what we're doing. That's what Ric Flair was doing. For all the stories we heard of Rick, for him to even do some shit like that is like really beyond me. Not saying, because Ric Flair, he already did like a 30 for 30 on ESPN talking about how much he drank. So yeah, I believed he pulled this shit out and swung that bitch like a helicopter. But like, dog, Ric Flair, you, I'd have even told him, like, dude, you're Ric Flair. Like, why are you even, like, if this lady said no, don't. Like, because now you're traumatizing a lady. That's ridiculous, bro. Put your dick back in your robe. Matter of fact, put your pants on, bitch. I'd have talked to him just like that because I wouldn't have gave a fuck. Because at that point, you disgusted the shit out of me. And look, I'm a Ric Flair fan. I'm a fan of the work. I'm a fan of the wrestling, the in-ring work, and the Four Horsemen, and, you know, him versus Sting, and, you know, his last match in WWE and all of that stuff. I'm a fan of all that stuff. But like they say before, like they said, you know, you don't want to never meet your heroes. And I'm glad and the thing is, I don't necessarily have heroes, you know, so it's like, So it's like, you know, what are we really doing here? I hope people, like, really start to believe that, like, people should start teaching their kids not to look up to certain people, because it doesn't pay off. I've seen, Lil Wayne said this. I was watching an old interview. I don't know if he did this in, like, 07 or 08. This is when the Carter 3 came out, right? The Carter 3 came out, so this is probably 08. Going into 09, he did an interview. He was pretty much saying, I think it was more along the lines of, if you grow up to inspire to be somebody else, why the fuck are you living when you can aspire to be the best version of yourself? and that's true. Like, that's actually true to me. And I'm not saying, this is not nothing to say as far as the kids go. This is more along the lines of, you say it when you get older and you start to understand it. You get what I'm saying? Like, when you start to become a teenager. Because when you become a teenager and you start to really have a dream, like, for instance, like Kobe. Like, for instance, he grew up watching Michael Jordan. He probably wanted to be Michael Jordan when he was a kid. But when Kobe got into the league, he was like, okay, I don't need to be the next MJ. I can aspire to be the best version of Kobe Bryant. That's what the Mamba mentality thing even started from. Right? So, what the fuck? But this whole plane ride from hell shit, it was sickening to look at, you know. It's like some stories you hear and you be like, I want to know more info. And I was always one of them people, like, far as wrestling go. But as more as the story went along, it's just like, dude, I just wish that I stayed in the dark with a lot of this shit, because the shit just getting more sickening. You're just looking at it like, okay, you don't want to know no more about it. You don't even want to know that, like, if that plane ride from hell happened now, First of all, we would have had a bunch of photos, would have had a lot of videos of what the fuck was really going on. Because trust me, if I was on that plane, I'd have recorded half the shit. I'd have been like, look, this is what the fuck happened. And I don't give a fuck what kind of heat I got in the back of the damn locker room, because I wouldn't have gave a fuck. And I just wouldn't have gave a fuck. And I think that's how Booker T came across when he was talking about it. He just like, pretty much like, bro, like, like I was like I minded my business. I went to sleep. Like, I'm, you know, we wrestled. Like, and that's what it should have been. You know, not saying that Booker T had it. He might have had a drink or two or something, but he probably, like, look, Booker T was probably like, shit, I was so damn tired from wrestling and all that other shit. We was overseas for like a 4-day tour. We got to go back to the States to do TV on that Raw. I went to fucking sleep. So, you know, we, the era we live in now, I don't think that would ever happen now. You know, and if it does, it's going to get recorded and posted. Because, like, and if it doesn't, that's because somebody in the back is scared to do the shit. And that's what's wrong with a lot of these wrestlers today. They're so scared to, I don't want to, you know, be in the, man, fuck all that. If it's wrong, it's wrong. Say it. And it was like, and it was just to this point to where even with the Terry Reynolds thing, when they was like, Brock Lesnar shoulder to dick, like, don't sell it. You know, Dustin Rhodes, you know, serenading Terry Reynolds. She said, they kept saying, don't sell it. And it's like, it's that ongoing thing of don't sell it, don't sell it, don't sell it, to the point where you're looking at the wrestling business now more like, Jesus, it's an evil, evil, evil world, isn't it? And trust me, I'm a wrestling fan. I'm still going to always be a wrestling fan. But the whole behind the scenes and political bullshit, you kind of veer it off a little bit. You like, Jesus, like, it's, it just can't be talent. Just can't, you know, do what they're supposed to do. They just always have to be, you know, sickening. It just always has to be this sickening thing. And it's like a lot of sickening shit just always comes out. As far as like the political stuff goes. I shudder to think the kind of stories we would get before the plane ride from hell, because this is, you know, post 80s and 90s. This is like the early 2000s. This is 2002. So I'm quite sure the 80s was even more rowdier, and I'm quite sure even the early 90s was rowdy. That's pretty much the end of this segment, because that's what I really wanted to get into. Like I said, the actual wrestling aspect of things will start to return next week, because I'll get back on my schedule starting next week. But let me get into some football stuff, because there's going to be a lot of football that I got to get into, folks. All right, y'all, so let's get into some of this NFL stuff that I wanted to talk about. And yeah, I've been off for 2 weeks, so we are already about to go into week 3. Funny, right? Football is already moving fast, and we're like, week 3, like, you know, if it was only 16, you know, games in a season, I'd be like, damn, we're almost a quarter of a season in. But not, we have to wait. I mean, next week I can still kind of say, because it's only an extra game added, so it's like, fuck. But we pretty much almost a quarter of a season in, and it's already moving fast. But after looking at both, you know, all these games on both sides of the conference, I will tell you, people are already overreacting to a lot of losses and wins to a lot of these teams. A lot of these teams are about to pretty much take losses on. You know what I'm saying? So let's take a dive into it. So we had, like I said, I think the only game I had reviewed of week 1 was like the Cowboys and Buccaneers, which, by the way, I said before, I think the Cowboys are going to be a more legit team this year, especially after looking at their week 2 game, which I'll get into. I'm not going to get into all these other not every team, you know, we'll veer off. I'm going to pull up, you know, matter of fact, I'll pull up seedings of the division. You know what I'm saying, right now, and I'm gonna have another page for like games and stuff. Had a little chill, people. You know, let's see, NFL standings, because I got one page for, you know, like the games that's coming up this week, and I got another one for like each division winners and losers, and that way it can make it easy for me to be like, okay, let's not overreact with certain teams and blah 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 and blah blah blah. You know, like let's not do that. But as we looked at week one, we seen some massive losses that I didn't really overreact to. You know, like I said before, I kind of predicted the Colts wasn't going to pretty much stack up to anybody yet. Like I said before, they played the Seahawks in week one. It was 28-16. Listen, the Colts, I think that the Colts are in desperate need of just a more, I don't want to say competent quarterback, because not like, I'm not going to sit here and say Carson Wentz is incompetent. He's just a person that's not healthy and everything. You know, like if this was an Andrew Luck team and Andrew Luck was healthy and never retired, then we would be talking differently about the Colts right now, you know. But they played the Seahawks, and their team is looking the way they're looking, so it wasn't going to be a challenge. The Texans is like one team that surprised me in week one, because I thought the Jaguars would have took advantage of the situation, but right now the Jaguars are not ready. I don't even think Urban Meyer is ready. I don't think that he is, from what we're seeing so far, I don't think that he, you know, for as week one, we'll look at it like this. We'll go over the week one. I want to go over week one so bad, but I can't, because week one is already done with. So let's just get to week two. The only thing I will tell you about the week one stuff, because people probably was like, oh, the Ravens lost, that's why he didn't do the show. No, I didn't. I kind of figured that I already came into that game thinking we could lose this game against the Raiders. And the Raiders are not an easy team to beat. And the Raiders stacked up good against us in week one. They took advantage of the situation in week one. Then with week two, we had the Giants beat the Washington Redskins, beat the Giants, the Raiders beat the Steelers, the 49ers beat the Eagles, you know, the Browns beat the Texans, which wasn't a surprise. The Broncos beat the Jags, Panthers beat the Saints, you know. Let's just go over let's go over the week one reactions. Let's not go over each score. One reaction, overreaction, was the fact that the Ravens lost to the Raiders, right? I looked at it more like this. Lamar Jackson did everything he can, besides the two fumbles, which rarely happens, because people was like, he got to stop running, he can't throw. Dude, he throws over 60% of his passes in each season. What do you mean? Is he more strategic with it, with the running? Yes. Do he have to throw more than 50 times a damn game? No, he doesn't have to, because he has his legs to rely on, too. He just shouldn't, you know, with the fumbles, it was just like he was doing more than what he should have, which I'll react to the week two win in a few moments. The Aaron Rodgers stuff, I looked at it more like, I don't think that the team was just ready for week one. I just didn't think the Packers was ready for week one. And can we also just, like, acknowledge that Sean Payton is an awesome coach? He probably just, you know, he had weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks to, like, just, like, study on, you know, Aaron Rodgers and that offense, and the defense isn't bad. They was never bad. You know, the only thing that's missing from the whole entire Saints team is Drew Brees, and they got a deep threat thrower and Jameis Winston now, which they did lose the next week, but it's like, okay, come on, it's a division game. Let's, like, not overreact to everything. Those are pretty much the week, you know, one overreactions, which we'll get into week two now. Now, when you get into week two, now because we're about to go into week three, so we're about to see what every team is pretty much made of. Even if teams got easy, you know, teams to play this year, I mean, this week coming in, but you're starting to see, and which, let's get into it now with week two. You kind of look at week two like, okay, now you start to see a formula. Like Washington Redskins, they won. I think their defense need to do a little bit more better than what they're supposed to, because I was coming in thinking they should be the number one defense, you know, coming in. But like I said, it's only week two. They still beat the Giants. The Giants is a division team. Let's not, you know, think about it. But then you get to the Raiders and the Steelers, and I was just saying, like, okay, at one point in time, the Steelers offensive line is going to have to answer against good teams. And the Raiders right now, I feel like, are a good team, but we'll definitely see going into division games, and we, you know, I think week four, I think they play the Chiefs, which is going to be their greatest challenge of the entire season because they got them twice. Thank God the Ravens don't have them twice unless we play them in the playoffs. But the Steelers, yeah, their offensive line is depleted, and I think Big Ben has a pectoral injury, which means I don't know if he's playing Sunday or whatever. But either way, the Steelers, it's not looking good. And I was actually thinking in my mind, I was like, maybe they should just try out Dwayne Haskins. What do you got to lose with him? Only thing you could do is get his worst or his best with a bad offensive line, right? 49ers and Eagles, you kind of understood where you was getting there with that because it's like Jalen Hurts and the Eagles are like they reforming, right? They're playing a good team in the 49ers, but it was a 17-11 game, so it was more defensive than anything. So maybe the 49ers got to find themselves as far as offensively goes. With the Browns and the Texans, I knew the Browns was going to probably, like, I'm not going to say roll the Texans, but just pick up that win. They won by 10, but it was like, okay, you know. But the Browns, they was going to win that game. Like, the Browns are a good team, okay? They lost week one, but they should have won week one. They just let it get away from them. They should have been 2-0. But I'm not even going to harp on that. They 1-1. You got the Broncos beat the Jaguars. The Broncos, they got Teddy Bridgewater. Teddy Bridgewater was never a bad quarterback. Injuries deflated them over years. But the Broncos always had a good defense. The Panthers beat the Saints. That was the shocking game of the entire week for me, considering what the Saints did do to the Packers on week one. So I kind of felt like, okay, maybe they got to figure some things out offensively. Rams and Colts. Colts took another loss. Rams, one of those Super Bowl contenders. Colts, not really. Bills, they pretty much let the Dolphins score nothing. 35-0. That sucked. Patriots beat the Jets. Bears beat the Bengals. Buccaneers beat the Falcons. The Cardinals beat the Vikings, which I've said coming in. I said the Cardinals are like is like my dark horse team. So if you're not paying attention to the Cardinals, you might want to start to pay attention now. I don't care how they won this game, they won. A win is a win, okay? That close win will add up at the end of the year. The Titans beat the Seahawks. That was like a redemption win because the Titans got rolled in week one, folks. But I thought that was – will I say that was an overreaction win? Because they lost to the Cardinals, but like I said before, the Cardinals is like my dark horse team. I think the Titans' defense is just not very fucking good. And I think the Cardinals just like I said, week one, teams time up for teams in week one, and they timed up for Derrick Henry. And I think they just was like, you're not going to let Derrick Henry run over us in week one. We're not having it. The Cowboys beat the Chargers. Good game. I watched that whole entire game. My Ravens beat the Chiefs, which I was like ecstatic about because I was actually on the fence about that when I thought we were going to start 0-2. And the Packers beat the Lions, which is expected because the Lions are the Lions. Now, before I get into the week three matchups, let's look at the divisions and let's look at the overreaction of things. So right now you have the Bills, Dolphins, Patriots. They all got 1 wins in their division. The Jets, no surprise, they don't have any wins in their division. I think it's going to be a battle between the Patriots and the Bills more than the Dolphins because we're going to start to see the decline because right now everything is early, but I feel like we're going to start to see more of an explosion of the Dolphins offense, which means that their defense ain't going to be able to keep up with a lot, which I'm going to get into a lot with defenses and offenses too. As I feel like the season wanes on for a lot of teams, but I think that the Patriots and the Bills, they're going to be like beating each other back and forth. I think they're going to split wins, and I think that they're going to, you know, have a tight race in this thing. But I still think ultimately the Bills will still win this division. You have the Raiders at 2 wins, Broncos at 2, Chiefs at 1, and Chargers at 1. And look, it's overreaction right now for this division because I still have the Chiefs winning this division. I think that the Chargers are still going to come in second. For some apparent reason, I think the Raiders are going to come in third, and I think the Broncos are going to come in last. Like I said before, as the season wanes on, you're going to see the greatness of Patrick Mahomes come through for a defense that I'm going to get into later that's not producing real good. Now, right now, we have the Steelers at number – hold on. My screen is not working, folks. Hold on real quick. There we go. Right now, we have the Steelers at number one, Ravens at number two, Browns at number three, Bengals at number four. Now, we're all 1-1. That's the thing. We're all over 500. We all at 1-1. Steelers are going to come in third, and I think the Browns are going to be fighting for the number one top spot. Matter of fact, the Bengals might come in third just because of how bad if this O-line is so bad for the Steelers, it's going to make everything bad for the defense for the Steelers. Like I said, I'm going to get into all that stuff at the end of this spiel. Right now in the AFC South, I just think the Titans are going to run away with this sooner than later because, like I said before, the Texans, sooner or later, the Texans, they're about to be exposed. They already at 1-2, okay? They already lost two games. They only won one. By the end of this week, the Titans should be 2-1, and the Colts, I don't think the Colts are going to take a win, and the Jaguars, they're not doing what I thought that they were going to do, which was be the second best team in this division. So, you know, far as that, let's get to the NFC real quick. Washington football team and the Eagles got and the Cowboys, they all got one wins, one losses. I think the Cowboys are going to be a runaway team with this a runaway team in this division. I think that their offense is going to make their defense better. Now, like I said, I'm explaining all this stuff in the long run. As I get down the line, let's get to the NFC West. This is the toughest football division in football. Right now, the Seahawks is at last, but I'm not overreacting. I think this is going to be a struggle. I think each team is going to be treating first place each and every week. As soon as we get to, like, week five, it's going to be like, you know, the Cardinals might jump up to number one, but then week six, we might get the Rams jump up to number one, and then week seven, we might get the Seahawks jump up to number one. That's how we probably get it, right? Packers, they're going to run away with this division. The Bears are their only competition right now, especially I think they're starting Justin Fields on Sunday, which I'm ready to see highlights. And I wanted to see the game, but I don't know what time the game is because I got a game to watch at 1 o'clock. Hopefully it's at 4:30 because I really want to see Justin Fields start. But if not, like I said, because I know this was the Sunday nighter and the Monday nighter, and I'm already going to be locked in for like the wrestling pay-per-view Sunday night. And clicking back and forth because both games are going to be on Peacock. So I'm going to be like in and out, in and out. And the NFC South, obviously the Buccaneers, they're going to take this division. Like, seriously. Like, the Panthers, they're on a roll. But once they come against the Buccaneers, come on, it's Tom Brady and the Super Bowl champs, unless they shit themselves, right? The only way that the Buccaneers can't win this division is if they piss all over themselves. That's pretty much it. Now, what you can look forward to this weekend is we have the Panthers already won, so they're 3-0. You got the Chargers at the Chiefs. That's gonna be like one of those games where it's gonna be like, yeah, right. The Cardinals play the Jaguars. Cardinals are gonna probably have more likely win this game. The Bears play the Browns. I'm predicting the Browns, but the unpredictability of Justin Fields is gonna be a thing. The Washington football team against the Bills. I got the Bills winning, which will make it easy for the Cowboys because I'll get into that later. I got the Titans beating the Colts. I got the Patriots beating the Saints. I have the Giants beating the Falcons. Those are one of those games you don't – you like, ah. You got the – I got the – surprisingly, I have the Bengals beating the Steelers this week. I really do. Obviously, my Ravens are going to beat the Lions. They should. This should be a game they should win. And I always say that with my team. This should be a winnable game. One of their easy games of the year. Especially off of the win we just got. We got the Jets versus the Broncos. Broncos going to win. The Raiders against the Raiders should beat the Dolphins. The Buccaneers and Rams is going to be the toughest game of the entire weekend. But I'm going to go with the Bucs only because I think Tom Brady wants momentum for what we're going to get for Sunday night of next week, which I won't talk about till next week. We got the Seahawks against the Vikings. Russell Wilson is not going to lose to the Vikings, and he already lost last week, but he's not going to take a loss this week. I got Aaron Rodgers avenging. Well, I'm not going to say avenging. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to get his second win of the streak against the 49ers. And I have the Cowboys beating the Eagles on Monday night. So, with all that being said, for what I've seen from football so far is that I'm still going to keep my Super Bowl prediction. I feel like it's still going to be Buccaneers against the Ravens. And people are like, damn, really? You're going to still pick the Ravens? You're still going to pick your team? All these injuries and all this other stuff. Listen, the only thing that I'm worried about right now is the defense in the secondary. But the way that the Ravens played last Sunday and what I've seen is that we can, I'm not going to say easily get into the playoffs, into the Super Bowl, but we can have a stranglehold on each game we have each week. And what I'm saying is if we play teams like how we played the Chiefs, but more in balance without the turnovers, because without the turnovers, that's pretty much two scores that the Chiefs doesn't really have, right? Because one was a pick six. The other one, I think Patrick Mahomes and them scored on the down. I mean, scored on the turnover, right? But other than that, like, think about it. We could strategically move the football down the damn field, have possession of the clock. That makes it easier on our defense because our defense is not really healthy right now. Our defense could continue to get a little bit more healthy throughout the season, which gives me to the Steelers. With the Steelers, it's in reverse. I think as the season wanes and the offensive line get more pressured, and like I said, they have a division game this week against the Bengals. So people probably like, Steelers fans can sit here and say whatever they want. Oh, we're going to beat the Bengals. No, you, Joe Burrow can light y'all up. Because even though their defense is still set up to be one of the top defenses, but they can easily, the stats and the numbers won't dictate that because the longer they're on the field, the more tired they is. And then all you got to do is just go in there. You could just straight three and out their team because the offensive line ain't protecting the quarterback. They're not getting Najee Harris no runs. You know, eventually throughout the season, even if Big Ben plays Sunday, he's going to get hurt and he's going to be out for the season because the offensive line is too depleted. And then you got to play, on top of that, you got to play the Browns twice and the Ravens twice. It's not a recipe for survival. Okay, and then on top of that, you have to play the Bears this season, and the Bears have a good defense. And then you got to play the Packers, which means you got to go up against Aaron Rodgers in that offense, and that defense is going to get so tired, Aaron Rodgers can just straight lay waste to his defense. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, ugh. And then you got to play the Chiefs, and the Patrick Mahomes can do the same exact thing. So, which gets me to the Chiefs. With the Chiefs need to think about changing up the defense just a little bit more because Patrick Mahomes is that guy. That offense is potent. That offense can score at will. That's exactly why I said the recipe for beating the Chiefs all season. I've been saying it all offseason. I said the recipe for beating Patrick Mahomes in that offense is keeping them off the field at a certain point in time. That's the only way you can beat them. You got to keep them off the field. That we can give them less time on the field. Because if you're beating the clock and let's say you got over 40 minutes of possession time, that only gives their offense what a little bit like what less than 20 minutes. Not saying that because they're deep, but that's the thing. And their offense is capable of scoring at will, but you got to give them less time. You give them less time, hey, there you go. Right? So You kind of look at everything like that. And that gets me with the Cowboys. I'm just going to say it right now. I just think the Cowboys are going to win the division. With Fitzpatrick being out for the Washington football team and, you know, pretty much you know, they got Heineke, and I'm like, he's a good quarterback, but you got to get more reps for him. And I'm a believer in Dak Prescott. And like I said, the Cowboys defense can't be worse than what it was last year. That's a recipe for them pretty much taking the, I'd say at least by week six, week seven, or I would say at least by week eight, they could just take the NFC East by the throat and just straight choke it. You know, they should, you know, they should. But like I said, I'm not going to rule out the Washington football team right now, but they should be eight. They have the Washington football team have the capability of just choking the life out of the NFC East and saying, fuck that. Nobody's taking it. You know, so like I said, it's a lot of stuff going into this season. They kind of want to make you change your mind a little bit, but I'm like, I'm still going to stay on my team's train. Only because we do have Lamar Jackson and he's so lethal with his feet, and we have the opportunity to play time of possession. I think L definitely out stranglehold games. You know, that's going to be like, okay, those are going to be some games. We'll be against the Browns because they are top against the run. We don't play the Titans this year because that would have been another game I picked. But I'm looking at teams that can actually run with the football with us, and the Browns will do it. Nick Chubb has been known to, you know, with that, the way our defense is set up, run it down our throats, and he can run for a 90-yarder if he wants. So I think we'll split games still with the Browns. I think that our division might come down to, like, the game. You know, I think – I don't know if we played them last game of the year or whatever. I got to check the schedule again. But, you know, that's going to be some games. I think we got the power now to – since looking at the Steelers, we should be able to take them two games straight. You know, and the Bengals. The Bengals are still in rebuild. I think the Bengals will be more potent for us and the Browns next year, but they got the capability of beating the Steelers this week, though. The Cardinals, like I said before, people still sleeping on the Cardinals, and the Cardinals are 2-0, but they're like good 2-0. They're not like they're 2-0, but they're treading 2-0. You know, about to go 3-0. They're not treading. They're like, no, they're good 2-0 because I've been following this team for like the last couple of years, especially when they drafted Kyler Murray. I said, okay, they're going to build a team. And then when they got, you know, DeAndre Hopkins, I said, oh, okay. And then they got AJ Green, and then they got JJ Watt, and then they built the offensive line. I said, okay, they're going to really be fucking good this year. So, like I said, It's going to be all fun this football season. This football season is about to be real interesting. And I will say, with the Ravens and Chiefs game that happened Sunday, and I watched it live, I was so amped up. I was like on the edge of my seat. I was throwing my remote when stuff happened and all this other stuff and the flagging and all that other shit. Home field advantage is definitely back for football. And I encourage people, like, when your team is playing at home, definitely give your team that edge. Because that was the only edge I gave my team. And that's the edge we needed. And I think our team was amped up from the time Ray Lewis came out there and did the dance. Even though Lamar threw a first interception, I just think he was a little too amped. But the fact that how you seen how the game went and how he turned it around, and you know, with the fans was hyped, and the way they started strategically moving the football, and they kept, you know, Mahomes on the field, and then that interception really was like the deal sealer for me. I said, okay, this man don't rarely throw interceptions, so we got to take this damn interception with a grain of salt. Like, we got to take it and be, you know, we got to take advantage of it. And it was just like, damn, okay, let's win this, Baltimore. We have to, like, you have to beat this team, because no matter what, they're going to make the playoffs and they're going to be the team to beat in the AFC. And the fact that we was the team that stopped their perfect Patrick Mahomes September win and all this other stuff, it was like, that's momentum, because now if we go into this playoff game with these guys in, let's say, January, you know, we have, they have the, you know, confidence to beat this team, because this is the team. This is the standard. They the standard, you know. And Lamar wants to be okay. If this guy is, you know, number one, I need to be number 1A and try to get to number one, because and Lamar is, he, no matter what people say about him, you can't throw the football. You can't do this. You can't do that. He proves it every single time. And I start to, I came to this recollection after he won the night after. I said, okay, he's never going to get the recognition from anybody. Even if, let's say, he wins the Super Bowl, you know, hopefully, and I got the confidence that he will. But even if he does, he will never get the recognition from people that doesn't believe in him. And I feel like he's the type of guy that looks at it like, I don't care what y'all people think that I can't do. I'm going to show you that I can, but it's not me really showing you because I'm not paying attention. I'm going to just go ahead and I'm going to prove each and every week that I deserve to be in this league like everybody else. And he's going to, you know, work hard, you know, strive and win games, because let's be honest, he's won 80% of his games, folks. He's always been throwing over 60, well over 60% of his passes. Each year, he's never thrown double-digit interceptions. What else does Lamar Jackson has to prove besides win a Super Bowl? Because let's be honest, every person besides the guys that won Super Bowls that's playing in this league has to just prove that they gotta win, they can win a Super Bowl. That's it. And that goes for everybody, not just Lamar Jackson. Just saying. So you gotta kind of, you kind of gotta look at it like that. Like, share, subscribe, folks. I will come back with another show on Monday. I'll be talking about wrestling. No. Matter of fact, let me scale it back. I'll do a show on Sunday. Pay-per-view and football will be discussed on that show. Okay. I'll talk about Extreme Rules, and I'll be talking about football. What I'll do is I'll probably just watch football on the little screen, and I'll watch wrestling on the big screen. Because, like I said, I'll be watching football all day on Sunday, which means I'm like, let me give wrestling some love on Sunday. But like, share, subscribe, folks. You can listen to me on Anchor.fm, or you can just download the app. You can listen to me on Spotify. You can listen to me on, Google Cast. You listen to me on your Apple devices. You can listen to me on all these platforms, folks. All the platforms. I ain't got to keep repeating them. But you can listen to me on all these platforms. But like I said, at the end of the day, I will be back here on Sunday. Definitely Sunday night. Right after the Extreme Rules pay-per-view. Until then, kiss my ass and I'm out.